You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, I gotta just shout out my boy Dangles here for a sec, because he take another team total. I mean, he was dead nuts on his team total for the Packers last week on the Sunday night. Hit it under. He doesn't have a horseshoe in his ass or anything, because, you know, they scored 0 points and they went on to score five touchdowns in 12 minutes and 32 seconds, which was their fastest five touchdowns since 1967.
I realize how fortunate I was so that Dangles, things turned out that way.
Bro,
I saw that and I was like, whoo, boy, if I had bet the first half of team under,
saying,
we would not be having the same conversation right
I'm
now.
I'm just saying, if you're going to tell anyone on team totals, is that guy, because he knows something that no one else does.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fast stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, West Coast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. And we're coming to you to start off week 15. I know we normally have a Tuesday show, but listen, sometimes life happens. Life finds a way, and we're pushing forward, we're moving forward, and yours truly has never been less prepared to make a slew of bets today, but that's okay, because I'm still leading King of the Coast. I still have a big lead in King of the Coast, although Diggity Dangles went 6-1 last week and is catching up right at my heels. Schaefer the Sharp had a good week as well. Yours truly did the worst on the week, and I think I know why. I'll get to that later in my bets. Giving out a lot of bets today, the Thursday night lean, the Sunday night lock, and of course the King of the Coast, where each of the hosts here makes five bets for those Sunday games. We also, taking a little bit of Tuesday, bringing it to today, we have to have a gravestone segment, because the three of us are even more angry at a handful of teams and are ready to put them in the ground and say they won't make the playoffs this calendar year. Very big show, very excited to get into it. But Schaefer the Sharp, first I want to say congratulations, yes, my friend. I know you don't like fantasy football, but you play in this, yes, one big money league, and I know you had a great week last week, the only league you play in, and you get to be in the playoffs in that league. You're very excited, right?
Oh yeah, super excited, Tony. You know, I start off just like a bat out of hell, 5-2. Just, and again, I play in one league, and it's big money, okay? And when I say big money, it's big money even for me. I won't say the buy-in, but it's significantly, it's a big buy-in. Let's just say that winner's league we're in, if I win, I'm kind of breaking even with a little bit of change, if you know what I'm saying. So, one league,
nobody knows
2.
What you're saying except for the three hosts of this show, but please, keep going.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a classic win and you're in, right? We've all been there before. Win, you're in the playoffs. But not only, I have some recourse here, because if I don't win, I need not one, but two different results to happen for me to get out of the playoffs. And who do I have on my roster? I have Scary Terry McLaurin, a goose egg from a concussion the first quarter. I sit Washington's defense. Of course, they have a defensive touchdown, would have got me much-needed points. And, of course, I have none other than Daryl Henderson, who doesn't play for the Rams. And I get blown out of the water by a team that is, I believe, 2-11 going into my game. 2-11 because they very conveniently have Josh Allen. And the two results that I needed to happen, one of them needed to lose. They both needed to lose. They jumped over me. So guess who's on the out looking in fantasy playoffs? Schaefer the Sharp. I hate fantasy. Gamble. Don't play fantasy.
You know who else is on the outside looking in Dangles in my fantasy league? Why, it's none other than Dangles, because yours truly took him to the woodshed last week, and now I have the inside route on that final playoff spot, and he needs some luck to get by
me. I do. I do, absolutely. How about shout out to my wife though, in her second year in our fantasy league, going 7-7 through this week in the season, beating out some veterans and competing with some people that have been playing for like 10+ years.
In her second year, I am playing your wife this week in a loser goes home.
She's already taken you to the woodshed at least once this this year, and not in a good way.
I was going to let that sit for a second. Let's move on. It's time to gamble. It's time to go forward.
Yeah, we're not a fantasy podcast. Go check out Chris Dell at Mad Journalist on Twitter if you want fantasy.
It's time to go to
it's
the
a
Thursday
good, It's a good
night
time
league.
To go to the woodshed with Dangles' wife.
Listen, pregnant wife, mind you. Listen,
pregnant wife.
It's time to do what this show does correctly. That is gamble on football. It's time to talk about the Thursday night leans. We're having fun on Thursdays, especially Dangles. You're 8-5 on Thursday night. Myself, I am 6-7. Drew, you're 6-8. But these are teams that we've gambled on quite a bit, Kansas City and Los Angeles. Dangles, what do we have coming at us for Thursday night football?
Oh, it should be a fun one. One of the more exciting games, I think, of the week this week. The Kansas City Chiefs hit the road to take on the Los Angeles Chargers at SoFi Stadium here in Los Angeles, California. Kansas City leading the AFC West at 9-4 coming into this game. They are 6-7 against the spread this year. The Los Angeles Chargers at 8-5. They are 7-6 against the spread. The line in this game is a field goal to the Chiefs, the road team, 3 points, and the total in this game is 52.5 points. And a game here with a lot at stake for both of these teams here.
Oh, yeah.
A lot at stake and playoff implications. Let's kick it over to, well, where do you want to go first?
I'll go first, but thank you for trying, Dangles. It's crazy how pivotal this game is. The Chargers already beat the Chiefs earlier in the season. That was back when Kansas City started their downfall. And then the Chargers have been an up-and-down team as well, dependent on the week. Huge pivotal matchup. Both of these teams seemingly heading for the playoffs. But at the same time, a couple of losses and they could be on the outside looking in. The Chargers, with a couple of wins, could be the one seed when this is all over. 24 out of the 32 teams in the NFL have 6 wins on the season. That's how clustered the top of this is. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the playoffs, and this game is going to prove a lot. Personally, I have no idea what side to take. I could see Kansas City winning by a lot. I could see Los Angeles blowing them out of the water. I could see the total being really high. I could see it just under 50. I don't think it's going to be a low, low scoring game. And as for props, couldn't tell you who's going to play for Los Angeles. Couldn't tell you who's going to make plays for Kansas City. As a fantasy owner of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, every time Darrell Williams touches the ball, he does so well, it makes me so angry. But Kansas City uses them both very well. So you can't really make a prop bet because it could be the other guy who gets the points. So instead, I went a little weird. I went a little odd. There's one bet that's on DraftKings right now that I think is a gimme. I can't give it to this show because the odds are -220. But it is, will a successful fourth down conversion happen? Yes, -220. Nobody goes for fourth down more than the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Kansas City Chiefs have been known to get a little crazy too. -220, I think, is a great number to take on that bet personally. Won't do it in this challenge here because we try to take even money bets. I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to take a big plus money bet for the Thursday night lean. And it's a successful 2-point conversion. Listen, I know that's a square bet, but the number right now is +250. Los Angeles has gone for 2-7 times so far on the season. They're 5-2. Kansas City's 0-1, but again, with Pat Mahomes, anything can happen at any time. I just think this game is going to be high scoring enough, and it's going to get those weird, like somebody's going to go up by 8 or 11, and eventually somebody's going to need to try for a 2-point conversion to play catch up and get back into the game. I think this is too good of a number to pass. Yes, there will be a 2-point conversion at +250 is my Thursday night lean. I got to win one of these, Dangles. Before we go to the King of Thursdays, let's go to Shea for the Sharp.
Squares, listen, I like that bet, but you gave a big plus money bet. You want to add that to your card, the successful fourth down conversion, because it kind of evens out. You have a plus money, you have a big minus money. I'll give that to you if you want to do a bonus bet.
Oh, I'll take them both. I think the fourth down one is a guarantee. -220, I have no problem spending that personally
I'll
to make
that
up.
I'll give that to you because you're taking the plus money. I like that.
Right, I'll take them both.
That's a bonus bet from the Cavallo.
I'll take them both. I will say, hold on. Last show was the first time I gave out a bonus bet, and it was the two totals. Lost both of those totals. But never mind. Keep going.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more here, Tone, about this game. This is a really good matchup, a really perplexing matchup for me to try to handicap here. for all the reasons you stated. I mean, you know, we've continuously said the Chargers really have no home field advantage here in Los Angeles, where you boys are sitting. The Chiefs have looked great. You know, the my swan song of the Chiefs' funeral is a long time ago now. They've rattled off five in a row with that defense that looked like an absolute corpse.
Yep.
Has really come into form. And you mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting a little share there with Williams. They do try to utilize him. The last three games, he's averaged 12 carries per game, and I think that's really kind of setting up Mahomes' success.
Yep.
To get back to his old ways with Kelce and Hill. You know, we know Herbert's going to chuck it with the best of him. And, God, I mean, we can talk about that throw he made last week in a separate podcast.
70 yards in the air on a dime.
Unbelievable. Just awesome, awesome throw. The future is bright for that young man, yeah. As everyone knows. But I'm going to stay away from all sides and totals. I'm just going to play the prop here. The Chargers' run defense is one of the worst in the league, and I do think Kansas City will look to establish that. I'm going to play Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the acronym CEH. CEH. I'm going to go over 56.5. Like I said, if he gets 12 carries, he needs to average just over 4.7 yards. I think he's good to break at least one decent chunk run there. I like it a lot. Give me Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 56.5 rush yards.
There's also a chance that Pepe the Plan is on Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well, but that's
yes,
for later.
Thank God. Dangles, yes, good job, Pep.
Dangles, you're 8-5 on Thursdays. What do you got for us this week?
Well, what's a better confidence builder than having an inanimate object be on the same side of a bet as you? Yes. You can't get much better than that.
Hold on, Dangles. Before you go, I have to tell you two a story. Gaming Society had a Christmas party the other day. We had a Secret Santa, and our good friend Garrett from Gaming Society had me as a Secret Santa, and he gave me, not lying to you, he gave me a 3-foot-tall plant as a gift, and he said it could be Pepe's cousin. So now I have to schlep a 20-pound plant home from Venice and now take care of this fucking plant.
What, did you name it at least?
No, he gave me a job. I'm going to name it a pain in my ass plant. That's what I'm going to name it. Yeah. All right, Dangles, you
nothing
can go.
Like, nothing tells you I really appreciate like giving someone a fucking plant. Thanks, Garrett. Love you, man.
Oh, man. Well, on the subject of the seh bet, I did look at the over on his receiving yards here at 13.5. He is involved in that pass game. He does get targets in that pass game, so that might be something if you're looking for a prop to go with. Instead, I'm going to a different Chief. And now, normally, guys, I know I've got a bunch of stats and things that say he's done this many times over the last number of this games, and he's establishing this pattern, and let's show the reasons why. Guys, I don't have a lot of like positive things to back up what I'm about to say or back up this bet that I'm about to make here. I just think we're looking at a game that could be a shootout. Both teams have something to play for here with the Chargers in a position to get the tiebreaker. They beat Kansas City at Arrowhead earlier this year, as we talked about it. Kansas City looking to lock up the division, potentially, you know, secure home field advantage for the playoffs here. But there's a name we haven't said in the last few weeks, and his name is Travis Kelce. It's because he hasn't scored a touchdown in 4 weeks. He hasn't caught a touchdown. I think this is going to be a game, and a lot of those games, because Kansas City has gotten so far out ahead and their defense has played so well that they haven't had to incorporate him into their offensive strategy. I think that changes here in a game that I believe will be a shootout on the road for the Kansas City Chiefs. I do think they'll have to go back and forth, and Travis Kelce is one of their best receivers. They got to get him involved. Patrick Mahomes loves throwing to him in the red zone. Give me Travis Kelce for an anytime touchdown at +110.
Love it, Dangles. Love it. I am interested. I think, I mean, all of us think this game is a shootout. None of us took the over, but I mean, there's a chance this game could be like that. Remember that Monday Night Football game between Jared Goff's Rams and Mahomes' Chiefs? I don't know.
Yeah, it was like a 54-51 final. I remember we watched that game together, didn't we? At Slater's 50-50 in Pasadena.
Just saying, could be one of those games. Let's move on now. That's it for the Thursday night leans. Now we're going to give you a little bit of fun, a little bit of glam here. We're bringing a Tuesday segment to the Thursday show. It's time for Gravestones.
West Coast Gamblers.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now it is the sad time of gravestones, the part of the show each week where we tell you that a team will not be making the playoffs this calendar year, and we put them into the cold, hard ground. We've been doing this all season long. In fact, all three of us at this point have killed Jacksonville, Miami, and the Jets in the AFC. Miami making a push, though, still loving for that wild card. We've killed Detroit, the Giants, Chicago, and Philadelphia in the NFC. Individually, we've made kills as well, because each week a host here kills one team. It goes in the order of how we did last week on the gambles. Dangles will be leading today, Drew going second, myself going third. If Dangles decides to kill a team, the host following him cannot kill the same team this week. That's where the strategy comes in. Dangles, as I said, you're going first. You've killed Houston and Denver in the AFC, Seattle, Atlanta, and Carolina in the NFC. Schaefer the Sharp, Houston and Pittsburgh are your AFC kills. Football team, Seattle and Minnesota. Goddamn Minnesota in the NFC. Myself, I've killed the Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos, the football team, the 49ers, which is my worst one yet, and the Carolina Panthers. But the doors are opening. The chapel is calling us in. It is time to go into the holy place, bow our heads, and it is time for gravestones.
In a football season, there are things that teams can plan for, or at least react to, and get through. Things like injuries and things like, you know, important players leaving, but what is more challenging to get through are scandals that tear down your coaching staff, and unfortunate off-the-field accidents that take away one of your most promising, young, talented players, and mean that they will probably never play a game of football ever again. This team started off the year 3-0. And their quarterback was on pace to throw for some absurd number like 6,000 yards. And in the game since, they have just simply not been able to win, winning three games since that 3-0 start. The Las Vegas Raiders are in a tough division, but they just don't have that gumption this year, and everything that's been going on has not added up to a team that is going to overcome adversity this year. Instead, they have become a victim of it, and they will not make the playoffs in 2021. Goodbye, Las Vegas Raiders. Goodbye, Mark Davis and your awful haircut.
That was uncalled for.
But true.
Well, boys, very thankful Davis didn't take my beloved team, who I'm about to eulogize, and I'll make this simple. In a week where you play a division rival, which happens to be the defending Super Bowl champ, which happens to be the greatest quarterback ever to play football, and your coach is cast as Kevin James in a biopic, it's a problem. And as the great Linda Ronstadt once harmonized, saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine, looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou. Well, the Saints are going to be blue this Christmas. Who dat? Not they. The Saints are gone. Goodbye. The Aints come marching in.
Well, yeah, I think it's time. I've been saving a team for a rainy day. And oh, it's pouring. It's pouring buckets in my personal life as well as on this show right now. And while the rain falls down, I know that I have one umbrella left in me. And sitting in third, it's a tough time, but there are too many teams with too many chances to make it to the playoffs, and only one team has yet to be, or has been eliminated from playoff contention. Even though I may be making a bet on them later in this show,
the Houston Texans are a moribund franchise, and into the ground they go. And I end this with another rhyme because I'm fucking awesome. But that is the end of Gravestones.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Now, normally as it gets to the later weeks of the season, the Sunday night football game is flexed to be the most interesting game of the week. And that's exactly what the NFL did with this game. I'm amazed that this is somehow still our Sunday night game, and yet we're giving out a Sunday night lock on it. So let's go as quickly as we can through this awful decision by the NFL. Dangles, what do we have for Sunday night football?
Oh, maybe it has something to do with the fact that the last time these two teams met earlier this year, the underdog won. Now, granted, that was in their home stadium, so we'll see what happens because I think that plays a big role here, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But first, we have the New Orleans Saints heading to Ray J in Tampa Bay in Western Florida to take on the Buccaneers and Tom Brady and Leonard Fournette and Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski. And holy crap, there are a lot of playmakers on this team. New Orleans is 6-7 on the year and 6-7 against the spread. Tampa Bay 10-3 and 7-6 against the spread. And very importantly, they have not lost this season at home. 6-0 at Raymond James Stadium. The line on this game has moved around a little bit between 10 and 11 points, sitting at 11 right now on our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. 11 points in favor of the home team Buccaneers, total 46.5 points, Tony Squares.
I'm going to go first because I'm the worst gambler on Sunday Night Football on the show. I'm 5-8. Dangles, on Sunday Night Football, you're also 5-8. Schaefer the Sharp, however, is doing well. He's 8-5 on the most important game of the week. I'm also going to quit because I don't care about this game. I mean, we already had the finale of the best show on TV, Succession, last week. But if they were had another episode this week, I'd probably watch that over this awful Sunday Night Football game. I don't care for Taysom Hill. I don't care about the Kevin James biopic. I don't care about that team at all. I understand that the Saints have won the past 7 or whatever against Tampa Bay. I fully get that. I understand that, Trevor Siemian beat Tom Brady at home. I get that. I get that the Saints have their number. I don't care to watch it, though. And frankly, the Buccaneers are a boring team to me, too. They shouldn't have beaten. I don't want to talk about the Buffalo game anymore. Instead, but Borak has suffered enough. Instead, I'm going to give you my bet, and this one's easy. I think the number's a little bit too big in this game. I don't believe in New Orleans at all, so I'm going to do a little teaser here. Same game teaser. I'm going to take the New Orleans, kick them up to plus 17, and I'm going to take the total, kick it down to 40.5, and say it's going to go over that. New Orleans plus 17 tied with over 40.5 is your square Sunday night lock. Dangles, what do you got?
I'm going to keep mine short and sweet too here, fellas, because I mean, I will watch this game because watching Tom Brady work out of the pocket is like watching Michelangelo paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. It's just a master at work at his craft.
One of those things is much more exciting than the other, by the way.
Tom Brady working out of the pocket. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good answer.
Yeah, no, it's the correct answer. Guys, the Bucs are an incredible offensive juggernaut this year. The run game has really flourished. Leonard Fournette has really flourished here. And as I mentioned, the Bucs are 6-0 at home, and they're scoring a lot there. I'm taking the Bucs first half team total over 14.5 at plus 105. They are the best first half team in the league. They average about 17 first half points per game and over 19.3 to be exact in their last three. I know it's a plus money bet, but again, I think the Bucs are on right now. They're at home. This is a division game. They want revenge for that loss that they feel like they shouldn't have taken in New Orleans against this team earlier this year. They know they can beat them. I think they're going to come out swinging. So give me the Bucs first half team total points over 14.5 at plus 105.
Schaefer the Sharp, as I said, you're 8-5 on Sunday Night Leans. Where are you going for this one?
Well, I gotta just shout out my boy Dangles here for a sec because he taking another team total. I mean, he was dead nuts on his team total for the Packers last week on the Sunday night. Hit it under. He doesn't have a horseshoe in his ass or anything because, you know, they scored 0 points and they went on to score 5 touchdowns in 12 minutes and 32 seconds, which was their fastest 5 touchdowns since
1967. I realize how fortunate I was so that Dangles, things turned out that way.
Bro.
I saw that and I I was like, whoo, boy, if I had bet the first half of Team Under, we would not be having the same conversation right now.
I'm just saying, if you're going to tell anyone on Team Totals, it's that guy, because he knows something that no one else does. I'm going to try to flex a little, guys. I had a winning week for the first time in some time. I mean, Tony Squares probably has the stats, but thank God I don't feed him my picks anymore. But I really am trying to dig here, and I like this bet. I mean, you know, the Saints have won the last three regular season games against the Bucks. I think people know that by now. But the Bucks have been awesome at home. I mean, they've been literally unstoppable, minus giving up big, big, big leads last week. Tony doesn't want to talk about that, so I won't. However, I saw this bet on our friends from DraftKings, and I like it. Tampa Bay, in six home games this year, have scored first five out of the six home games, with their only exception being down 3-0 against Miami. The Saints, in their eight road games, have scored first two out of eight times, and both times just a field goal. So you can bet this prop on DraftKings. And I, again, with the game script, I do expect Brady to come out firing all cylinders. I think they do want to obviously get up early, make a statement early. Brady's going to be in FU mode because he damn well knows his team's beat him three times in the last three regular season games. He actually has a one regular season game as a Buck against the Saints.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay to score first with the money line to win the game is at minus 130. I'm going to bet that, and I will catch up on King of the Coast to even up the odds. I know we try to say minus 110, so I will catch up later. But Tampa Bay to score first combined with the money line to win the game, minus 130. I like it a lot.
A little parlay action from the sharp. I like it. But that's it for an awful Sunday night football game. They get better as the weeks go on, believe me. But we only have 4 weeks of football left. We got to watch everything we can. Now let's move on to the King of the Coast contest, which, of course, yours truly is still winning.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Hey gamblers, Dangles here with a quick production note for you before we get into King of the Coast. As you probably now know, the Jacksonville Jaguars fired their head coach Urban Meyer on Wednesday night. Now that news broke less than an hour after we finished taping our show for this week. And we all made bets on this Jaguars-Texans game in advance of Meyer's firing, and we plan to honor those bets. But we had such a fun time in our analysis of that game, just roasting Meyer and the situation he put himself in, that we decided that we were going to leave it in, even though that analysis and commentary is now pretty much moot. Thanks for indulging us. On to King of the Coast.
West Coast Gamblers.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now!
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
All right, it's time for King of the Coast. This contest, we've been playing it all season long. Each of the hosts here is about to give you five bets to take for week 15. Three sides, one teaser, and one total. Each of these bets that we give out is confidence ranked. That first side is worth 1 point. The second side is 2 points. And the final side is a Brinks truck full 3 points. We also give out the teaser. That's 2 points. The total is 2 points. 10 points. To be had. Doing it all season long, I'm leading right now with a 66-point total. Dangles moved up to second place after last week. You're 59 on the year. Drew, you are 58 points. And you can still see me at the top of the mountain. Keep on climbing, though. You'll get there eventually. Let's start off, though. It's time for the first point side. Diggity Dangles, I want to kick it over to you. Where are we going first?
Well, let's hope you bet like you did last week, Tony, and continue this. Nah, they're way behind me. I don't need to bet really well. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, you're going to see me throwing an ice pick into the facade right behind you. Yeah, maybe I miss and catch your Achilles tendon. Who knows? But I'm going to go to my first my 1 point side here. My 1 point side here. I've got the Texans +4 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. My power ratings have this line exactly at 4 points to the Jags, but what my power ratings don't do is factor in the potential variable of your team being a warehouse fire like the Jacksonville Jaguars are right now. I don't know. I like nothing that I, you talk a lot about body language, Schaefer the Sharp. Nothing I see from the Jacksonville Jaguars is good in that department right now. And maybe I'm having a different conversation about this if this is like a 9-4 division leading team. At least there you've got like the season to rally around. These guys only have their dignity to left to play for. In order for that to work, you have to be playing somewhere you want to play. And I don't know that anyone wants to be in Jacksonville right now when you've got a head coach who is allegedly tearing his assistant coach's new assholes because he's got an insecurity complex, and what have you won? Where have, and laying into his most veteran offensive player in Marvin Jones, apparently in the wide receiver room. Like, this is a disaster. There are one of two ways
out. Let's not forget his kicker.
It's allegedly kicking his kicker. So, like, what do you do? There's two solutions, right? Either they start winning fast, or at the very least, Trevor Lawrence starts to play like a first overall pick. By the way, he just threw 4 interceptions last game and hasn't thrown for over 300 yards or even 250 yards since week 6 against Miami in London. In fact, he's thrown for 300 yards in the UK as many times as he's done it in the United States. Once. Mm. Wow. The Jaguars have no talent in any position group, and every day that Trevor Lawrence spends underneath Urban Meyer is one day that he becomes closer to being a taller, skinnier Tim Tebow, who cost more to draft. I think the other option is you fire Urban now, admit you made a mistake, which Shad says he's probably not going to do because he wants to let the rest of the season play out. And I think that looks terrible for them because you're essentially rolling over and admitting that this guy can just walk all over you and do whatever he wants and get away with it. This team is a disaster. The Texans are a disaster, too. They have no run game to speak of, but I'm fading the Jaguars hard here. Texans +4 is my 1-point side.
Shave of the Sharp.
Well, I won't spoil it for the listeners, for the guy batting behind me, but my 1-point side will also be the Houston Texans +4. And this is this is something that's so strange to me to watch. Kevin Clark from The Ringer, gifted writer, man. He wrote an amazing article about Urban Meyer today. Definitely would check it out. And this was before the news of Josh Lambeau kicking. I like Lambeau said, look, it was a 5 out of 10, whatever, like it wasn't, but I told him never to fucking do that again. But with the article, supposedly the next day, Urban said to him, if you talk to me like that, you're going to be gone. I mean, guys, that handshake that he had for Vrabel with the hand in the pocket and just the loose dead fish, he looks so lifeless. And Tony Squares, in our text thread said, there's a possibility that, this might be like an internal thing in Urban's camp trying to get him fired so he can just take the money and run.
Yeah.
I mean, he is such a miserable human being, and he's such a miserable football coach. And Dangles, you said it best. This body language, if you'd put split screens, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Lions fan, if you'd put split screens on the Jaguars game last week and the Lions-Broncos game, Lions getting their ass kicked, and they're still competing, they're still running around. They have a terrible team. They have no shot at winning, but it's visibly different. The coaches are visibly different. The coaches are still coaching on the sidelines for the Lions. It is a fucking warehouse fire, as Dangle said. There's nothing here that I could ever get to the Jaguars, even though Tony Squares convinced my son Colt to bet on him last week in the contest. It didn't go well.
Yeah.
And our friend, PFT commentator, who we know, and their rival podcast, Part of My Take, literally on Succession, Tony, a show that we're all fond of, hearing Urban Meyer played boar on the floor with Tim Tebow and Carlos Hyde to see who got released first. I think that sums it up. This guy's such a dickhead. Texans +4, 1 point.
All right, so that's both of you guys gave out your 1 point side. You both have Houston +4, and I just have to say, as a member of the Evergreen podcast community, when we came on, we learned that Terry Bradshaw and Urban Meyer had a podcast together that was also in the Evergreen umbrella. And I just want to say, because of that, I'm going to be taking Jacksonville -4 as my 1 point side for this game.
You are a slug, Tony. You are a slug.
Company man.
You are a slug,
Company
Tony
man Cavallo.
Squares. An absolute
Listen.
Slug.
Don't let the haters get to you, Jaguars. The only people that matter are the 53 men in this room. You got this? The Texans
suck. And the 53 fans in the stands.
Listen, I will say this. Neither of these teams is an intelligent organization, but if there's one organization looking towards the future more, it's Houston, and they know that if they lose to Jacksonville right now, they're pretty much guaranteed one of the top two draft picks in this draft. I'm just saying, Jacksonville -4 is my play. Let's move on to the teaser.
Okay, the teaser is where you take that point spread, you get to add 6 points to it anyway. Schaefer the Sharp just took Houston plus 4. If you put him in a teaser, it'd be Houston plus 10. The key is you got to take two of these bets time together and hit this in order to hit your teaser. Dangles, we're going to save you for last, my friend, because would you believe it that you've hit your last 5 teasers in a row and
I
7 of
it.
Your last 8? You are king teaser,
nice,
king
nice.
Teaser on this show. Let me go first on this because I'm taking something a little bit interesting. We haven't talked about COVID at all yet on this show, but it is really ravaging the NFL right now.
The three of us have had it.
I know. It is ravaging the NFL right now. Every team has people every day. I mean, Washington football team has placed, I think, 13 people this week. Cleveland has placed a bunch of people. By the time we record this and it airs tomorrow, even more people are going to be placed on this. So it kind of makes these lines and these sides that we're taking a little iffy. So I'm taking two of these teams that I believe the lines are wrong on both of them. And they could be there because of COVID, but I still think they're wrong. I could get proven wrong, put them in a teaser, make it okay. Saturday night, New England is playing the Indianapolis Colts in Indy. And Indy is the team that's favored -2.5. I'm not sure that should be the case, and I believe in Indy. I think New England should be the one that's favored. Put New England in a 6-point teaser. A 7-point teaser. You get them up New England +9.5. That's my first leg. The second leg, I understand Philly is coming off of their bye. I understand the Washington football team got absolutely manhandled by the Cowboys last week. I understand the football team has a bunch of people on the COVID list. Their D-line is decimated. Philly loves to run the ball. They should be able to do it against Washington. I just think 7 points is a lot to give the Philadelphia Eagles and a hurt Jalen Hurts and an okay Gardner Minshew. Like, yeah, he's a good quarterback, but he's not Tom Brady. He's Gardner Minshew for a reason. And that defense in Washington, at least against the pass, has been playing well as of late, Dallas game aside. I'm putting Washington in this teaser as well. Washington football team +14. I think they give it their all, knowing if they lose this game, they're pretty much out of the playoff picture entirely. My two-team teaser, New England +9.5, football team +14. Schaefer the Sharp, let's go to you. Save the king of the teasers for last.
Okay. Man, Squares, I was thinking about teasing Philly for that reason. You might have just not really talked me out of it, so to speak, but I'm not going to tease Philly because I don't think
football team wins.
No, I know. But like my point is I wanted to tease Philly -1, but they're just so unpredictable. And the Colts-Patriots game, wow, something just – That we've seen this before. You can't bet against Belichick with extra time. It's just that line just
well. Indy
weird.
Has extra time
I don't
too.
Trust it. I don't trust it. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do a classic AFC North teaser. I'm gonna take the terrible Pittsburgh Steelers team playing a very bad Titans team without AJ Brown, without Derrick Henry. And Big Ben's last ride, I do think in a rah-rah Tomlin underdog spot, hey, it's never hurt me before, not. But I will tease that Pittsburgh team up through the 7 there to get him to +7.5. And then I'm going to take my Bengals. You know, I have some rooting interest here in the Winners League. That line was a pick-em last week.
Yep.
The Broncos beat talk about a COVID-ravaged team in the Lions last week. I wasn't too impressed with that win. And the Bengals obviously lost an OT game to San Francisco. I think this is a really competitive football game. I don't see anyone really getting any kind of margins. So give me Pittsburgh +7.5, Cincy +8.5.
Love that. Can't wait for Pittsburgh to disappoint you once more. Dangles, king of the teaser, what do you got?
All right. Well, I'm going to continue with a trend that I've done the last 4 weeks this week. And
it's
that
worked
is,
for you.
It has worked for me. And what I've been doing is I've been taking a game that the books are saying is going to be pretty close. And I've been teasing that game up. And then pairing that with a team with a heavy favorite that I can tease down to a little bit of a closer game. So let's start with the team that I'm teasing up, ideally to over a touchdown. I'm going to do a 7-point teaser this week, fellas. I'm teasing those Steelers up to +8.5 from 1.5 where they're at. They love to play at home in front of the terrible towels. I think they're going to be playing to the buzzer in this game like they often do. We know Mike Tomlin's great record as an underdog. And conference dogs, if you were wondering, guys, this year of a touchdown or less covering at a 66% rate. I like the fact that they're at home here as well and fitting that trend. And then the other leg of my teaser, I'm going to tease the 49ers down to -2.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. I think the 49ers are way overvalued on that line. I think Atlanta is going to be competitive. They are still a 6-win team. I know we don't see much on that offense, but they have still managed to win 6 games. I think that game is closer than people think. Atlanta's getting its shit together a little bit. We know they can score with Cordy Patterson. They've somehow won 6 games, and they managed to put up 29 last week against a pretty good Carolina defense. So my teaser is a 7-point teaser. I'm teasing the Steelers up to 8.5 from 1.5 against the Titans, and the 49ers down to 2.5 from 9.5 against the Bengals. I'm sorry, against the they played the Bengals last week against
Falcons.
The Falcons, yeah.
You know, there's a Coach of the Year award, you know, with Cliff Kingsbury, LaFleur, Bill Belichick all being talked about. I'm telling you, Arthur Smith is not getting enough love for Coach of the Year, taking the 32nd ranked DVOA team and to a 6-7 record. An impossible task. That team sucks. I almost took him on my spread, but I couldn't get over it. I think that's too big of a number as well, Dangles, but San Fran -2.5 is the second leg of your teaser. The 2-point side now. It's time for the 2-point side. Boys, you both talked about it. You both talked about Cincinnati a lot, and Drew has them in his teaser, a +8.5. I think it's another Dave Esler special, wrong team favorite. Denver, I can't get over how unimpressed I am with Denver every single week. Like, they beat the teams they're supposed to, of course, but when it comes to games that they have to actually play, I just think Cincy is the better team, and maybe I'm an idiot. They're the Bengals. Like, they always disappoint, right? That's the whole Bengal shtick. Yet I just believe that this team should be able to compete against this Denver Bronco team in Mile High. I understand the Denver pass defense is one of the best in the league, and that's what Cincy needs to get going. That's kind of what San Fran took away from them until the end of the game there. But that Cincy defense should just be able to make Teddy Bridgewater's life hell. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it. And I think Cincy +2.5 at Denver is my take for the week. That's my 2-point side. Let's go back to Dangles. What do you got for your 2-point side, my friend?
Well, you know, you guys talked about this game a little bit earlier, and I'm going to find myself on the wrong side of this from you two. I found I could get myself to the Eagles -7 at home against the Washington football team.
Wow.
I see Washington football team in a bad spot here. I think they gave everything they had last week climbing back into that division game against the Cowboys. A game, yeah, they got manhandled in that first half, but they only lost by a touchdown at the end. They did a good job of climbing back into that game. Heinicke got banged up, though. Kyle Allen had to drive them down the field towards
Kyle
the end of the game.
Kyle,
Scary Terry got banged up in that game a little bit.
Well, he didn't score any fantasy points either.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I started him in a flex position, I think, in my game against Tony last week in the previously aforementioned wood shedding. Speaking of fantasy, I'm an owner in our awful 16 team league of JD McKissick, and his health is questionable week to week. He's the only, you know what I mean? He's the pass catcher out of the backfield. The Eagles, meanwhile, come off the bye as winners of 3 of their last 4, 2 of those pretty convincingly so against the Broncos and Saints, who are both still mathematically in the playoff conversation. I think the Eagles are in a good spot to win at home here against the football team. I got them covering a touchdown against this depleted Washington team.
Schaefer?
Well, guys, a friend of the podcast, Austin Huff, expecting his first child, a baby girl, anytime this week. So I'm going to ensure his week is going great because I'm going to bet against the Titans, which means he'll be happy because they'll get a win on Sunday. I'm going to take the Steelers money line here at plus even money for the simple reason is, you know, the Titans – I bet against them a lot this year, and I've not come up on the right end. But
no,
the Titans really, especially now, this is impossible to know. But if the Colts, for whatever reason, which obviously they very well could lose Saturday, the Titans do not need to win this game at all. They don't. They are firmly ahead of the division. The Steelers, meanwhile, you saw Roethlisberger's headline. He can't look at the finish line yet. You know, even that Steelers team, how bad they were. They were Chase Claypool.
Idiot. What a goddamn idiot.
Does Ben Roethlisberger know where the finish line is? I feel like he's running parallel to it these days.
They were Chase Claypool flash mob appearance away from potentially covering, if not tying that game. So it showed to me, at least that second half, they didn't quit. That might have been the Vikings just being the Vikings too. My point being, they're home underdogs against the Titans team with no A.J. Brown, with no Derrick Henry. And, you know, this is Big Ben's final countdown here.
Yep.
maybe, just maybe, they scratch one out here. I think it's going to nasty, nasty, ugly, ugly football game. I'll get to maybe what I'm leaning for a total here in a minute. But give me Pittsburgh on the money line. You're welcome, Austin. Congrats on your baby girl. The Titans will be victorious, I'm sure, on Sunday because of this. But give me Pittsburgh money line for 2 points.
My best bet at the beginning of this year when we did all of our futures was Pittsburgh to make the playoffs. I think it was like plus 220. They need to win this game for that to hit. I also gave out Pittsburgh win total over 8.5. They're at 6 right now. Drew.
It's a terrible price, too, for what we know about them now.
Well, hey, again, they're a game out of the playoffs right now with the way it's all crunched up. And they win this game against Tennessee, anything could happen. Let's move on to the squares bet of the show, though. It's time for the total. I'm going to go first. I don't really have a lot to say about this game other than I think the number is wrong. It's Dallas versus the New York Football Giants. The number total, the total point total on this game is 44 points. Frankly, I think Dallas can get this alone. They're also missing people on the defensive side of the ball with a couple of injuries and COVID scares over there. The New York Giants put up a semi-fight at the end with Mike Glennon against the Chargers. Granted, the Chargers gave up. They got over the team total. I think they ended up with 19 points after missing a two-point conversion or two. I think the same thing is going to happen. Dallas is going to go up by a bunch, and then the Giants are going to score late against the second-tier and third-tier defensive players for the Cowboys. Over 44, I think, is an easy number here. I don't take overs often, but this one jumped out at me. Dallas and Giants over 44. Another game I probably won't be watching at all. Dangles, what do you got?
I'm going to the Patriots-Colts game here, fellas. Under 45 points in this game. You got two very, very good defenses. New England third and Indy seventh per PFF overall. New England's allowed the fewest points per game in the league at 15.4 and Indy seventh at 21. Seventh fewest, that is, 21.7. You got two very good run games here. New England tied for first, Indy fourth per PFF, and two teams that are top 10 in time of possession. I think you're going to see a defensive struggle here. I think you're going to see two offenses that want to pace the ball with the run on the ground. I think it will be a low-scoring game. It's obviously 2.5 points is the spread, so Vegas thinks it's going to be close. I got the Patriots-Colts under 45 points, and this may not be the last that you hear me talking about this game on this show today.
I figured as much. I wouldn't expect anything less. Shay for the sharp. Finish out the totals for us.
Waiting with bated breath for where you're leaning on that one, Dangs. I do like the total there, Dangs. I was thinking about taking that myself on the under. But I think this is a better bet. I alluded to this earlier, man. That Pittsburgh-Tennessee game, like, where are the points going to come from? Those, I mean, Tennessee scored 20 points against the Jaguars, and a lot of that was field position. And, you know, Tony Squares barked a lot of stats during my losing streak. And, of course, I stopped giving my picks, so he can't give me these stats. I'd be curious what I am when I'm betting the first half unders at the magic number of 21 and under. Because this will be my two-point
side. It's
the
17th
I'm going
time you've
under,
done it this year, yeah.
Under 20 and a half, first half, Pittsburgh-Tennessee. Pittsburgh's last five games, they've averaged a whopping 3.2 points in the first half. The last four games for the Titans, they've averaged a whopping 9 points. I'm not a math major, but 9 plus 3 is 12. That's significantly under 20
nice
and
work.
A half. Give me Titans, Steelers, under 20 and a half in the first half.
I'll get that number for you later, Drew, but right now you're looking at like 1-2 so far.
oh, come on. It's better than that.
Time for the Brinks truck. Speaking of the Brinks truck, you're doing better than that. You have the reason why you're close to Dangles, even though you're not doing too well in King of the Coast, you're 8-6 on Brinks truck bets. This is worth 3 points on the King of the Coast game that we're playing. And frankly, boys, I'm disappointed in myself. I fully deserve the loss I had last week. I lost the domesticated bet to Drew because I went against my Packers. Listen, I said, you know, Chicago's defense is going to be mad that Aaron Rodgers owns them. And Dangles even came with me, said the first quarter was going to score 0 points. We already talked about how improbable it was that he won and Drew won his bet, and I did not. I love this Packers team.
Improbable.
And a team that I don't love at all based on injuries, based on COVID, based on everything around them. Listen, this Baltimore team, they're so much fun to watch. Lamar Jackson's amazing, but Lamar Jackson with a low ankle sprain is not the same Lamar Jackson. Green Bay is really bad against mobile quarterbacks, especially when they get to use their feet. Watch Justin Fields in that game. Every time Justin Fields got the possibility to move and make plays, he had the opportunity to, and Lamar is obviously better than Justin Fields, but
If Lamar is hobbled, even just a little bit, I understand their backup QB came back and covered for Baltimore late. Don't give me that. That ain't happening again. If Lamar Jackson is hobbled just a little bit and that defense is as bereft of players as they are, Green Bay is going to come into town and destroy this Baltimore Ravens team. I think Baltimore is very live to drop out of the playoffs in the AFC altogether. I almost killed them in our gravestone segment earlier on this show. I'm taking Green Bay -5 as my Brink's Truck bet of the week. Go, Pack, go. Dangles, what do you got? I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, I mean, how can I not this week on a game where a lot of people think this line is wrong, on a game where I personally kind of happen to think this line is a little bit wrong and that the wrong team might very well be favored? This is a ride or die game for me with my Patriots at +2.5. They are a great teaser leg this week. If you're not like me, pretty convinced that they're going to keep this close and maybe even win it outright. My power ratings have the Pats as field goal favorites. I think everybody's betting this to be where the Pats win streak finally ends, on the road against a team with a great run game that forces a lot of turnovers. And I feel like I got to zag here if everybody else is going to zig. Yes, I know it's where a lot of the public money is going to Indy. And I feel like maybe the sharp bet would be to go that way. But I 1,000% agree with our friend Diamond Dave Esler. I don't get why people keep betting against Bill Belichick and the Patriots when they prove in week after week they can do this. They can beat you in a bunch of ways. Shootout with a high-powered offense and a not great game from the quarterback, sure. 27-24 Pats over the Chargers. Mac threw for 217 yards. Underdogs in the road and hostile weather, can do. 14-10 Pats over the Bills. Mac Jones, 2 of 3 for 19 yards. He'll do just what he has to, not a bit more, to help win this game. We will find a way to cover this game. I personally think we win straight up. Patriots +2.5 over Indy in Indy.
Schaefer the Sharp, close us out, my guy. You can't bet against Austin Huff anymore. What do you got?
Yes. Sorry, Austin. God, this is a tough... This I was going back and forth with a couple options here, and again, I can't believe I'm doing this against a team that I was not thankful for on Thanksgiving. But Tony, you referenced this Cowboys-Giants game. It's like, okay, so Cowboys -11 on the road. Immediately, I'm looking towards the Giants. And then I think about it. So the Giants have lost 3 out of 4. In those 3 losses, they've not covered that 11 margin. They've lost by 11 or more in each of those 3 or 4 losses. Where do their points come from with Giraffe playing QB? And the Cowboys, you know, I think the addition of Randy Gregory, now they have just all pros at the D-line, Parsons linebacker, Diggs in the secondary. I think that addition is huge. I really think they can turn the Giants over here. And the first time they played this team, the Cowboys threw a 44 burger on them. Now, I know that was in October, but I don't know. I think – go ahead, Tony.
I just want to quickly interrupt you with something that I know you love hearing, and that is stats.
Yeah.
You are 1-7 when betting on Dallas Cowboys games.
Good. So – oh no, and I do appreciate that, because we're gonna make it 2-7. Back up the Brinks truck. F the Cowboys. How about them boys? -11. I'm taking a road double digit favorite. What have I done to myself? But hey, as Fergie once said, I got a feeling.
You just said it. You're like, I saw the line at -11 for the Cowboys on the road and immediately looked to the Giants. So what do you do as a bettor after that? You go and look for things to back up what you think is going to happen, right? To back that up. And then you go and look exactly like you did and you go, oh, shit. There's nothing to suggest that they're going to cover.
Here's the thing. I literally think if the Giants score 17 points, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
And I do think the Cowboys will score 4 touchdowns or 28 points, I should say.
Yeah.
So there's the math. Again, not a math major. Giants -11. Back up the Brinks truck.
And that is it for, honestly,
2-7, bitch.
One of the best shows we've ever done as in the history of the West Coast Gamblers. For a
I got so excited my microphone came completely off of my desk. It's
an 80% Tony Cavallo, for Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, always at 150%, and for Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston, we are the West Coast Gamblers, proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network featuring Urban Meyer, and we are happy to be here, and as always, thank you for listening. West Coast.
dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
The world's best known investor and Wall Street expert, Warren Buffett, once said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." Mr. Buffett's quote is remarkably accurate, but how many people would rather receive advice from him than someone simply guessing? Welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, your single source for Wall Street knowledge and profitable guidance. Please join me, Todd Schoenberger, and fellow trader Tobin Smith, as well as host Veronica Dudo, for a podcast known to move the needle for investors. Tobin and I are seasoned Wall Street executives with deep investment experience, and we are prepared to share our advice to those who choose to listen. Download Buy, Hold, Sell today on the Evergreen Podcast Network or your favorite podcast channel.